Promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor of this program. For its editorial content, statements, views, and beliefs expressed by the sponsor do not reflect those of WOKV or Cox Media Group.
The following hour is brought to you by Madden Advisory Services.
Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of subjects discussed. Discussions and answers to questions do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but is limited to the dissemination of general information. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the options presented. Madden Advisory Services, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the SEC and only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempt from registration requirements.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, Smart Money on News 104.5 WOKV. Here are your hosts, Hank Madden, Michelle Barron, and Brian Hughes.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money Live on a beautiful Saturday morning, hour two. And yes, lines are open, 340-1045. That's 340-1045. As the Mystic Minx will be quick to remind us, area code 904. So call and call now. It is 1108. Did you know?
Did you know after 1919, each U.S. city created their own rules governing daylight savings time, and by the 1950s and the 60s, with no uniformity, it became very confusing. So in 1966, Congress created 1 6-month daylight saving period for states to either follow or not observe at all. Currently, there's only 2 states who are not observing the change, and they are Hawaii and Arizona, or at least most of Arizona. I don't think all of Arizona.
And hopefully we'll be added to the we are always observing the change.
I'm going to have to check that because for a state to be partial, the only reason.
I think it's only partial.
That doesn't make sense.
There's a lot of things here that don't make sense.
Well, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. For some reason, I think it has to do with like Indian reservations there or something.
Huh. Well, they are separate nations. Okay, Mike, Fruit Cove, you've got a great situation here.
I'll give you a little background. I'm 71. My lady friend is 72, and this involves both of us.
Okay.
We're both currently working. I plan to work at least till I'm 75, if good Lord willing, and she does the same. We have nothing except money we've saved and Social Security. And I need to make the best use of what I have for the future.
Okay.
We've tried someone who was supposed to help us, a financial planner, and he fell flat on his face. And I just need a direction to go with someone I can trust to do it.
Okay. First off, is this the way that you're saying this? First, you're not married. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay. Secondly, is this all one person's money, or is this an accumulated effort?
It's an accumulated effort.
Okay. And the account that it's in right now, how is that account titled?
In both names.
So it's in a joint account?
Yes, we did that purposely, so there wouldn't be a problem with it.
Okay. Generally speaking, I am not in favor of doing investment planning and having assets jointly titled for people who are not married. I've been through several cases, and if you think a divorce is nasty, you ain't seen nothing till you see getting a joint account undone. The first thing that I would do is encourage you both to have a formal written agreement as to how those funds should be disposed of. Do you have, each of you have children?
Yes, and we've done a will, that lays out where we want everything to go. We just need it to earn some money while it's here.
Okay. Do you also have durable powers of attorney?
Yes.
Oh, God bless you. That's one of the hardest things we have getting folks to do. All right. Your previous experience, was it with a commissioned individual? Were they?
Yes.
Okay. Were they credentialed CFPs?
Yes.
And a major wirehouse.
Brokerage. I don't know what they were. They were a recommended situation.
Okay, came from a. They were affiliated with a major brokerage firm.
Yes.
Okay.
They were referred to. They have their own firm, and they were referred by a friend who says they've had good luck with them.
Okay.
But I didn't. We did not, and another person that got in the same time I did not have good luck with them.
Okay. Here is what I would look for. Then I want Brian and Michelle to jump into this. As always, we encourage you first to go to firms that are independent. That means they have no affiliation with any firm. Now, the fact that they were selling brokerage products tells me that they were captive to some brokerage firm or major insurance company or a combination of both. The second thing is I like for them to be CFPs, Certified Financial Planners. Next, and most importantly, I want them to be fee-only, Mike. I don't care how honest you want to be and how good your intentions are. And this is from my own personal experience over 40-plus years. The moment you put a commission on the table, it confuses the issue. For the person who is advising as well as the recipient. Because I promise you, if there's commission involved, the first thing going through their mind is, okay, what's so-and-so getting out of this? And right off the bat, you're questioning the foundation of that relationship, which is integrity and trust. So yeah. by having fee only, there is zero conflicts of interest, zero. They sit on the same side of the table as you. And lastly, I'd want them to be registered investment advisors, which makes them fiduciaries, which is the highest level of trust and scrutiny that you can be under and under current law. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, and I would like for them to do one other thing, and that is provide for you an initial consultation at no fees, where they lay out on the table, here are who we are, here are our qualifications, here is exactly how we make money, here is the exact process that we're going to take you through, and here is the exact cost of doing business with us. So all of that is very clear in the very beginning. All right?
Yeah.
Now, you two guys, rip it up.
Well, I think Hank gave you some great tips on how to find somebody to work with. He did key in a little bit earlier on saying that you really do need to get a formal written agreement as far as what you would like to do with the investments that you have. Hank usually has a story where he asks somebody, and you're not married, but your significant other, if you were to, you know, tell her, hey, I want to go build a house. I'm going over to Home Depot. I'm going to spend, you know, $320,000. You think she'd be very happy about that?
She'd be tickled to death.
Oh, man.
Well, there's only one thing.
I've heard you do this one before, so.
She doesn't know what it's going to look like, nor do you.
I'd leave it up to her.
That smart man.
That's a bad choice. Yeah, I hear you all the time, Hank.
But the point of that is that you wouldn't just go to Home Depot and start building things and buying things to build things without having a plan. And the same can be said for your investments. You definitely guys need to sit down and figure it out. What is it that you would like your investments to do? Because that's ultimately going to decide how you guys should proceed.
Okay. Brian?
Yeah, and just to, I mean, just piggybacking off what Michelle has said, that's what we do with our clients is we would sit down, we would try to learn about what you want to have happen with the assets when you pass away, while you're living, you know, what do you actually need off of it? We try to learn about what emotionally you're comfortable with and you know, risk-wise, what you have to be able to achieve your goals. And then we would try to build a financial plan around that. And that's the process that we think, you know, any advisor should be taking you through.
Okay, but the thing is, have to have and gonna have are two different things. I will have to live on what I have, what I get.
Okay.
I want to get as much as I have without losing it, you know, without, I don't want a whole bunch of risk tied into it, but I want it to earn some money. At this point, it's not.
Okay, Mike, I'm glad you made the statement that you did. I don't want to take a lot of risk. How do you describe or define risk?
Waking up 1 year
investment
from now
risk.
And having $100,000 instead of $300,000.
Okay. Well,
that's a lot of risk.
That's a pretty substantial amount of risk that you're willing to take on.
No, I'm not willing to take that much. I don't want that to happen is what I'm saying.
Okay, here's the deal. Most folks will, if I ask them, okay, tell me how you look at this money and risk, they're going to say, well, you know, I've really got to be conservative. This is all I've got. Or somebody else on the other end would say, you know, I've taken risk all of my life. I love being aggressive. Now, let me ask you, can you tell me how much either one of those people could make? More importantly, how much could either position lose?
All of it.
No, you can't tell me. It's a speculation on your part. And it's based around your fears. Good friends of mine use the word fear as an acronym, false evidence appearing real. And Mike, I apologize because I kind of set you up on that. The issue is that risk for most folks is an adjective. And it's not your fault you do that. You were trained to do that by the insurance agent or the stockbroker. Why? When you describe it as an adjective, it's an emotion. And they are trained to sell to your emotions. So if you say, I'm conservative, they're going to use fear words. If you say, I'm aggressive, they're going to use greed words. Neither one of those has said, here's a reasonable rate of return that you can expect to make. But more importantly, here's how much you can lose. And like you're saying, I guarantee you, you love to make money, but you're going to feel the pain of a loss substantially more than you'll ever feel the pleasure of a gain. Here is the approach that we take to it. Now, I will also say that this approach won the Nobel Prize in Economics in 1990. ERISA adopted it as the standard for if you are a fiduciary responsible for retirement funds, you better be following it. It's called modern portfolio theory. If you've got, you think, at least 10, maybe 15 years to live?
Yeah.
Okay. How about your sweetheart?
Yeah, same.
Okay.
Probably more.
Okay, great. Well, here's the deal. 5 years less, as Michelle has brought out and Brian both, your biggest risk is market risk. That's that going up and down that you hate. Therefore, you want to be in CDs, money markets, or T-bills. On the other hand, if your timeline is greater than 5 years, now we're looking at 5, 10, 15, possibly even 20 years, your greatest risk is inflation. CDs and money markets become the safest way in the world to lose money. You are guaranteed you're going to lose it. There, you want to own stocks and some bonds and some real estate, but in an intelligent way. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what the intelligent way is, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
All right, hang tight. And David, you hang tight too, good buddy. Okay, folks, we're going to take a short information timeout. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money Time is 11:21. Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money time is 11:26, and I screwed up with Michelle on Did You Know. We'll try to make it up later in the show, but let's get right back to Mike so we can finish this up. Mike, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Here is a process that I have found to be very successful for the client. We first meet with you after we've had a suitability to determine what should be done. We have a discovery. Generally, we block out 2 hours for this. During that period, oh, and we also ask you to bring tape recorders. During that period, we're going to go over various types of investing, various impacts that certain situations, inflation as an example, market timing, diversification, how all of these impact you in your portfolio. Then we go into a lengthy discussion of risk and how you can actually quantify risk. You can measure it. You know, like a tide gauge, we know how much it generally goes up or down in a 24-hour period. And various periods of the weather for here, we know what the range of weather is. Those are standard deviations. Every investment has one. Every portfolio, which is a grouping of individual investments, has one. And at the end of this meeting, you will both be able to determine a standard deviation and a yield that you feel is appropriate for you and understand it. We even go to the point of saying, if you can't, we'll refund your money. And we've yet to have to do that. Once we've done it, now, and I'm just going to make up something. I want to achieve 8%, and I can accept a standard deviation of plus or minus 20. That means you could have a high of 28, or you could have a low of minus 12. Now you know how deep the water gets. So we can take that information, we can put it into our software, and we can actually create a blueprint of investing by asset classes that tell us exactly what asset classes we need and how much in each one. And if we do, here's a yield, standard deviation, probability of loss, recovery time, and so on. From there, we then go to funding. In a subsequent meeting, we'll find what we feel are the most appropriate investments. Everything we do is no load, meaning it costs you nothing to buy it, hold it, or sell it. We then put that portfolio together, and we go through several acid tests with it. We'll look at styles, we'll look at betas, we'll look at R-squared, extended performance, continuity, worst-case performance of the portfolio, and then we'll give it to you until you take it home, shoot a goat, whatever you have to do. We don't care, but we want you back in a week or two, and now we're going to implement it. At that point in time, you are in absolute control over the portfolio. You know exactly what you're doing. You know exactly what risk that you're getting into and the reason for each element that's in that recommended portfolio. If that makes sense to you, great. If it doesn't, good buddy, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. I just that means I'm to blame for what happens.
Yeah.
But you're going to make an educated decision.
You're not being sold products. It's just like if you decided to build a house, you're going to accept the blueprint for it, right?
Oh, yes.
And you're going to accept then this is the building material and cost for it, right?
Yeah, but...
But if it doesn't work, who's to blame then if the contractor did everything they were supposed to do?
That's right. If I picked it, it's mine.
Got it.
Okay.
So, now, if you would like to proceed, we'd love to meet you. We'll provide an hour consultation at no fee for you.
Okay.
And I would encourage you to also have a meeting with a couple other fee-only planners.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Oh, I look forward to hearing from you. You can reach us at 296-1127.
296-1127.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your help and for your time.
Thank you, Mike. God bless. We got to go. Okay, David. David's got a great question, and boy, is it going to bring up some potential problems, depending upon how he exercises it. Okay, folks, we're going to take an information timeout, bring you up-to-date Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns. Back to you and your questions. Did you know?
Did you know various departments, universities, and economists have been debating the actual energy savings due to daylight savings? And honestly, the findings are all over the place. But there are other benefits to having lighter evenings. Stay tuned in to find out a few other companies that could benefit. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You are listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money time is 11:37. Yes, lines are open, 340-1045. That's 340-1045. And as the beautiful Mystic Minx will tell you, hey guys, call and call now. Did you know?
Did you know many different companies benefit from daylight savings time? For example, back in 1986, when the additional 3 to 4 weeks were added to daylight savings time, the barbecue industry expected a $150 million profit just for those additional hours. The golf industry anticipated $400 million more. Heck, even 7-Eleven pushed for the extra hours, claiming an additional $50 million in additional sales because of the change.
So I love barbecuing.
Is that what they were saying they expected, or what really happened?
Yeah, it's what they've expected. Okay. I don't know. I don't have the actual numbers.
It'd be interesting to know what those were.
I couldn't find them. I actually looked.
Okay. Let's go to David. Yo, David.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, good. I tell you what, I'm really proud of you for holding on like that.
You got me a little scared now after what I heard from you. You said depending on how he answers these questions, we might have a little problem here. And
you could have a big problem.
Let's see. So what's going on, David?
Okay. Well, first of all, I don't know anything about these investments or whatnot. So years ago, probably 10 years, I was listening to another program, if you don't mind me saying Dave Ramsey's name. He suggested a company here in Jacksonville. So I went to a company and they set me up with a bunch of mutual funds. And I had no idea what I was doing back then. And they set me up with a bunch of mutual funds with a company called Invesco. And I've just, I've just been with them for 10 years now. Just whatever it's been doing, it's been doing. But it doesn't seem like it's making very much money, very little. I haven't, I don't hear from these people at all. They don't call me back to let me know, hey, we need you to come in, look at the portfolio again. We got to change something. Nothing. I haven't heard from them in 10 years. So it's just been doing whatever it's been doing. And I was listening to your show a couple weeks ago, and I heard the word fiduciary. Yep. And it kind of perked my ears up because you're saying that fiduciary is different than what I have going on. I'd like to know the difference and what I need to be doing, because like I said, these things certainly don't look to me like they're making very much money. I know it's supposed to be over the long haul, but anyway, I'll stop. I'm getting redundant now, so I'll let you talk.
May we ask you some questions?
Sure.
All right. Did Invesco had some no-load products, but I'm betting you that you paid a commission when you bought them.
Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know anything about investments. I don't know how to read the thing.
How do you know how they were paid?
No, sir, I don't.
Okay. I'm betting you that it was a commission.
Well, it probably was, because there's not been any service afterwards. I mean,
the lead to it.
Exactly.
I didn't even know the mutual funds to pick. He picked all the mutual funds out.
Well, that's not necessarily.
I have a bad habit, and that bad habit is trusting people. Ronald Reagan says trust but verify. I trust but I don't verify. Okay. I just blindly trust, and that's a bad habit.
Well, the other thing is, over the last 10 years, the investment industry has changed quite a bit.
And products
and what's available and the information that's out there has changed significantly over the last 10 years. So in our belief, you shouldn't pay commissions anymore.
No need for it.
I mean, there's no need. Yeah, there's way too many products out there that are available.
How much money are we talking about, David?
It's not very much because I took probably 20,000 out last October when everybody was freaking out thinking the rapture was going to happen.
So did you talk to an advisor then, or you just called and said do this and they didn't talk to you?
Yeah, I just said do this and they didn't
talk
to me.
Okay, so how much money are we talking about?
What's left?
Probably in there now is probably like maybe $12,000.
Okay.
So not a whole lot.
Okay.
But I'm 52. So I got another 20 years to go, I guess.
Do you have other investing means?
I have very little silver. Okay. I have a Roth IRA.
How much is in it?
Probably about 15.
Okay.
And I automatically have $100 a week going into a Roth IRA. Every Monday, there's $100 going into a Roth IRA.
Do you have a 401k?
No, sir. I'm self-employed.
Okay.
Construction worker.
Okay. I really compliment you on what you're doing. Brian, Michelle?
And I'm raising, I'm divorced. I have custody of a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old, both girls. And I'm doing all this on my own. So
God bless you.
Only with God's help. That's yes, it. You know, yes, tithing. Yes. I highly recommend tithing. That's the only thing that's kept my whole, me straight.
My whole life changed completely when I finally started practicing tithing.
Yeah.
So, but let's get back to you. So it sounds like you've got about 27,000 in two separate accounts.
Right.
Okay.
Are you comfortable doing online banking and things online?
Oh, yeah, I do that now. Yeah, I do pretty much everything online right now.
So what I would suggest is looking at what they call the robo-advisors, because I think it would be a very hands-off way, which, you know, you've obviously demonstrated that you're a hands-off investor. It would be a hands-off way to invest, and it would be very cheap, and the allocation would be something that would be designed around your financial life. So what happens with it is you would go through, you fill out an application online. It asks you two types of risk questions. It asks you questions about your ability to take risk, and it asks questions about your emotional willingness to take risk. And from there, it would create or recommend a portfolio to you that you can accept. And then it would allocate the money for you. The advantage of doing it online is you go into very low cost ETFs, and you go into, you know, usually those programs, or a lot of those programs, don't have any maintenance fees anyway. So for example, Schwab Intelligent Portfolios offers that for free as long as you have at least $5,000 in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be a better option for you, because then you can go into something that is rebalancing automatically and reallocating for you without you having to do it. And it would be very low cost type of investments into something that's built around your current financial picture.
And rebalancing is something that I haven't heard you say that you're getting from your current advisor now.
No, ma'am. Well, I'm getting the statement, you know, from Invesco. But
right.
I have no, you know, my advisor has not called me and said, hey, you know, the market's doing this or that and the other. We need you to come in. We need to take a look at your portfolio.
I mean, realistically,
there's been none of that.
You don't have an advisor, realistically.
Okay.
I mean, they might say Invesco's your advisor, but they're not acting as an advisor.
But one thing that we should point out with the robo platforms, not all of them have an advisor associated with them. I mean, you can choose to have one with Schwab, but you would be reaching out to them. They wouldn't actually call you and say, hey, this is what's going on. Now, it has a feature that it automatically rebalances, but, you know, that you would get the same service as what you're getting now. You don't have an advisor. You really aren't going to have a dedicated advisor there. However, you are going to have the diversification and then the automatic rebalancing,
which you don't have right now.
Correct.
So do I need to pull everything out of Invesco before I do this, or?
Not before. You would go through, set up the stuff with Schwab or any of the other platforms, and then they'll have a process to help you out with moving the assets over.
Okay. So, like I said, I've heard you mention the word fiduciary. I guess you're saying that in my situation, I don't even have enough money to worry about getting a fiduciary.
That sounds really cruel, but honestly, yes.
No, listen, I'm a realist.
Okay. You know?
So I'm a realist.
Well, it's just for the cost that it
would.
If I'm totally
honest with you, I don't think I'm ever see this money anyway, because I think Jesus is going to be here within the next 10 years. So that's my honest opinion. But
well, that would be a wonderful outcome.
I know that's not this type of show, but, you know, that's my honest opinion.
Well,
yeah.
And it's a very good one. Again, David, get it set up the way that with what Brian and Michelle have said. And then if you've got a problem you don't understand, you can always call me at work, and I will answer your questions.
Okay.
We don't have to make money every time we talk to somebody, and many times mm-hmm. we don't. It's
okay.
called returning a blessing.
Well, I appreciate that.
So, give Schwab a call. You can. How does he get their 800 number to do this?
Well,
he's got to go online.
So,
Intelligent Portfolios.
Okay. Right. Just do a search for Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, and you'll come up with the program. But also, there's a bunch of them out there. Take a look at another one called Betterment. Take a look at one called Wealthfront. Same idea. Just look at the options and what they would charge you, and try to pick the one that you think would be best for you.
All of those programs are going to have minimal fees, though.
Yeah.
Okay. But all of these are better than what I'm doing right now.
We believe so, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. I enjoy your show.
Thank you, David. God bless, my friend.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Okay. Larry, we're going to have to take an information timeout. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money Time is 11:49. Did you know?
Did you know, while we've been talking about the financial benefits of daylight savings time, some research actually shows it might not be beneficial in a number of other different aspects, which in turn can actually cost the U.S. economy money. Stay tuned in to find out more. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. If you'd like to learn more about us or the services that we provide, check us out at maddenadvisory.com.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money Time is 11:54. Did you know?
Did you know some research now shows that stumbling forward an hour leads to an increase in heart attacks, workplace injuries, and reduced productivity, collectively costing the United States economy nearly $500 million?
Sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? Okay, Larry. Charles.
Oh, it sounds like a bad deal to me. Okay.
Okay. Listen, we've got 3 minutes, so you need to get your question in, and then we need to answer.
I'm going to go for it. In light of the conversation that you previously had with this other gentleman about Charles Schwab and that kind of investing, and I have been recently talking with them about doing an investment. I have, in discussions with them, they've suggested that a high-yield fund investment would be around 2.5%, and the medium is around 2 or something, and the bottom, the lowest, the high least risk was I think about 1.8, and that doesn't sound like a very good rate in comparison to the idea of the rates I have to pay if I want to go borrow money to buy a car or something. And then the other part of this question is, can I look forward to, as I know they're going to be raising the interest rates, to a better rate of interest on this mutual fund investment, exchange-traded fund investment? I think it's about the same thing. If the interest rates go up. Would I make more interest rates on the money invested with Charles Schwab?
So first off, you have to think of things in terms of total return, not just in yield. And so when they're telling you a rate of 2%, that might be the interest and dividend yield, but you still get capital gains, or, you know, there's other returns that go to you. So I think that's the first thing that you need to realize is you need to focus on total return, not just one source of return.
Okay, well, I don't understand that, but, you know, it sounds like that's how much they pay you on this amount of money you put in.
Schwab's not paying you. That whatever investment that they suggested based upon the information you gave them, what we hear you saying is, okay, it's supposed to pay 2.5%. Now, I don't know if that's a bond, if that's a mutual fund, if that's a stock, if it's a utility.
Combination of things. You know how they do.
No, because it's different with everybody. So.
Well, he says it isn't far, really, from Vanguard or what's that other one. But in any case.
Well, I mean, I'm.
It's a basic thing. Oh, no, I'm not a dime.
Okay, Larry, good buddy, I'm sorry. You're going to need to call us back at another time so
earlier
we can finish
in the
up
show.
This discussion and not at the tail end. God bless you. Thank you for your call. Folks, listen, that tells us we got to get out of Dodge. That's right. It's time to go. If nobody said they cared about you today, know that Michelle, Brian, the beautiful Mystic Minx, and Scotty and I do. Always remember, the greatest investment you'll make is that very special time that you're going to spend with your friends and your family. It's not an asset found on any balance sheet anywhere, but the one that has the greatest value. Our American fighting men and women and their families, God bless you for the sacrifices that you make for us that allow us to live in a free country. And our first providers, that's our police officers, our EMTs, our firemen, thank you and your families for your sacrifices that allow us to live in a city that is safe and know that we will be properly protected and cared for. Thank you for those sacrifices. And always remember that today is a special day that was made just for you by Christ Jesus. It's your responsibility to use it. So think, how do you want to use it? It doesn't hurt to always begin your day with a prayer and end it with one. Teach your children the same. This was the last day of your life and you were going to have to stand before Christ. How would you spend it? For all you know, it is. But it certainly makes things different. God bless, folks. We'll be with you next week. Bye-bye.